Need to order. Did she press records? Stand for the flag of allegiance. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reports and communications, superintendent updates.
I don't have a lot because of summertime, but I can tell you that we've, I met with contractor this morning to talk about putting a wall up in the library at Wheatland L to make an intervention room, fixing a portable over at Bear River, and then we have some work out at Lone Tree, but that's going to be, have to be later because it's a big job. And then meeting with the solar people tomorrow. We did complete all the lighting before school got out, so that's all done. And we had to, you'll see tonight, but we had to write a check for 800 and some odd thousand for upfront for the lighting and the solar. We're getting reimbursed that through the loan, which we'll pay back eventually, but it's a 0% loan, so why give them the money up front? But we have to pay it, and then you have to apply for it, and they send it back. Other than that, summer camp is going well. ESY, we haven't had any issues at all. I think that's about it. Yeah, so the camera, we're having cameras. That $500,000 grant that we received from, they call it the COPS grant, we are putting cameras up at all sites, changing new ones and quadrupling the number.
Nice.
And so Bear River was the first one. I think there's probably 40 cameras up there.
That
you can see every inch of that school.
Fantastic.
And then we'll go to Wheatland L and Lone Tree, and then we're even going to put a couple up here. We'll probably take the old ones from the school sites and put them up here. It's not as imperative to have them here, but it would be nice to have some on the front door or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that project, again, it's a pay up front, get reimbursed. So that's $125,000 we spent for Bear River, but we'll get 100% of that back with no loan. That one we don't have to pay back. So
fantastic.
Yeah, so I think that's it. You know, we have schools are all closed down now, except for summer camp ends this week, and ESY goes one more week.
Got it. Okay, moving on to communication from the public, items not on the agenda. All right, moving on to consent agenda.
Okay, so this is kind of a different thing tonight. Tonight you're getting the consent agenda, and that's the only thing you're voting on tonight. Tomorrow night, and then we'll do the information and discussion pieces of tonight. Then tomorrow night you'll vote on those two plus a couple of other items. I sent you, right before the meeting, I sent you the updated agenda. I'm going to send you a new one for tomorrow just because Melissa found out we had to add our Williams Act. So we'll put that on the agenda for tomorrow too. But this is your normal consent agenda. It's the minutes from before, payroll, personnel. You can see that we've been in a hiring frenzy.
Yes.
Lots of people. And
everything but a music teacher.
What's that?
Everything but a music teacher.
Cannot find a music teacher. No.
Ever.
Not yet, anyways. So.
Do we have any questions or comments on the consent agenda? Can I get a motion?
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to 5.1, opening a public hearing for the 2425 LCAP report.
So you can just bang. Okay, so this is our annual update on the LCAP. It is, I think, about the eighth year, and it is the eighth different version. The state loves to change it every single year. So what you have in your agenda, packet is the LCAP report. So it's what our goals are through LCAP. It's obviously not all of our spending because it doesn't deal with payroll and those types of things. But it goes through different action goals and then the actions to get to those goals. And then you have to report on what you did last year. And so you've read through it and you see the different columns there and the money that you're going to spend in that area. And then they've added a couple other things because California is California. The feds said, hey, you need to do a couple extra things. So you have in here the federal addendum, which we have to write to just to meet the guidelines that the feds put together. And then there's the local indicators, which they've expanded this year. The last 5 or 6 years, what the board received was, are we meeting them or aren't we meeting them? And now there's a section where you have to write how we're meeting them and whatnot. So that's also in here. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm not going to go in depth because all I would do is be reading it to you. And it is the same thing we do every year. So spend as little time or as much time as you want on reading through the report. It is quite extensive. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, it'll come back to you tomorrow for approval. If there's no questions, then we'll move on to the budget. And that I do have a PowerPoint for that, so we can go through what the budget looks like, the proposed budget for last year and where we are this year. Okay? So I'll do that. Hopefully.
These are so sensitive. These mics are very sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 24-25 budget, we've talked a little bit about it before. When we talk about the May revised, the governor's proposed budget, the COLA only being 0.76, as opposed to in the last few years, has been 9%, 8%. So California right now financially is not doing great, and so that will impact us probably not as much this upcoming year we're in now, 2024-25, but we'll probably see more cuts in 2025-26. Unless funding turns around.
Is it
going to
record you like that? Or do you need
So we start off with what is the mission statement and the core values for the district. Those of you that have been around know ours is KIDS, Key Instruction for Development of Student Learning and Growth. These haven't changed in years. At some point, if the board wants to revisit them, we certainly can. So overview of budget and certification. So on or before July 1st of each year, the governing board of each school district in the state of California has to hold a public hearing, which is what we're doing right now, on the proposed budget for next year's fiscal, July, starting July 1. You have to vote to approve or disapprove the adopted budget, but that has to be at a different meeting than the public hearing, so that's why we have to have two. If you approve it, you pass it, the adopted of the budget allows the district to post the budget and begin fiscal related operations, i.e. requisitions, pay, purchase orders, etc. We are required to hold a minimum reserve, which is 3%, for the current and two subsequent years. If you disapprove at it, then
are gradually coming to an end. We have received millions of dollars in one-time funding in the past years, mainly because of COVID relief. That's the main one. And then discretionary block grants, a learning and recovery block grant, which we have not spent any of that yet. It's 1.something million, but we are, that's how we're going to pay our intervention teachers now that we don't have any more of this money to pay our intervention teachers. And then educator effectiveness. The other thing is everything's going up, increasing expenditures. So, for example, our staffing column alone, which is teacher salaries, classified salaries, they're moving up 1.5% just by having being in a new year because they go down a step. So that's a significant cost. Utilities are going up. Special education is going through the roof. You will see that in a minute. And then textbook adoptions, et cetera, et cetera. Everything is getting more expensive. So we're getting less money. The COLA was supposed to be 0.76, now it's 1.07, so that's better for us, but 1.07 is nothing. You can't even meet the 1.5 staffing column with only getting 1.07 COLA, because remember, COLA doesn't hit everything. And then declining enrollment, we're not really in a declining enrollment state, but what we are in is a declining kids come to school state, right? We have families during COVID were taught to just keep your kid home, right? Because, oh, they're sick, keep them home. Oh, they're sick, keep them home. Now they just keep them home. And we don't receive funding for students that aren't here. And so if you have 100 students, but they only come to school, or they miss 10 days of school, then we're only going to get 90% of the money. So every time that kids are not in their seats, doesn't matter if they're sick or they're on a family vacation or whatever, we don't receive money for that child for that day. So attendance is huge for two reasons. One is students aren't going to learn if they're sitting at home. And two is we're not going to be able to pay our bills if kids don't come to school because we still have the same expenses. The lights are still the lights, the teacher's costs are still the teacher's costs. And then deficit spending and reserves. We're lucky we have a pretty good reserve and we're going to be happy with that in the next year or two because we'll be spending some of those reserves down because we won't be able to meet it otherwise. So I think that's it for this. So again, I spoke to you about this. It was 0.76 and they raised it to 1.07 for COLA. And again, in the last few years, it's been 8 or 9%. I guess the only saving grace is because we agreed with all of our employees for a two-year agreement where they received 8% this year we're in, and they received nothing for next year. We don't have to worry about that 1.7 going to salary increases other than step and column. And then STIRS, so that's the teacher's retirement system, is flat, but we pay 19.1% of the teacher's salaries into STIRS. PERS is a lot more expensive, but of course the employees are less expensive. So we pay it's jumping from 26.68% to 27.05% of the salary of classified employees that are in PERS. So that's a 0.37% increase. So special education, here's a huge one for us. Right now our revenue coming in is $1.3 million and we're spending almost $4 million. We have been inundated with special education students, which has cost us a fortune. So you can see, and those of you who have been on the board for a long time know this is always this way, right? It's probably bigger this year than it has been in the past, but we're always upside down in special education because we have all the mandates and all the laws that we have to do all these things like transportation and all these ESY, but they don't give us the money to do it. So this all comes out of the general fund. It's just how it happens. Transportation is another one of those things that it costs us more to run the buses than we get from the state. So routine restricted maintenance, you're required to put 3% of your expenditures towards this. So we have $756,000 will go budget for routine restricted maintenance. This was put into place back in probably the schools were falling apart because they weren't putting any money into the schools. And so now we're required to put 3% of your budget towards repairs, which is good and bad, because some years we'll use all of that, and some years we'll hardly use any of it. And then unrestricted lottery money is funded at $177 per ADA, so we'll receive about $217,000 from that, and $82,000 for restricted, which is what's put aside for checkbooks. The other one is put aside for anything you really want, not salaries, but pencil, paper, and all that type of thing. So for people to think that, you know, schools were a winner when it comes to the lottery, you can see it's not a big pot of money. So this is a pie chart of where we get our money. The majority of it is LCFF, 65.6%. We get about 12% from feds. And then other state revenues is 13. And then other local revenues, mostly interest, is 8. So if you look at what does the revenue look like compared to the current year that we're in, 2024, and what it will look like in 2024-25, I'm not going to go through each of these. The bottom line is we're better in LCFF, but we're worse in the feds. And so we're going from $23,144,000 to $23,118,000. So you can see, even with the 1.07 COLA, we are going down a small amount of money, which would be okay if your expenditures don't go up. Ours is ours. So expenditure assumptions, again, step and column, MERS rates jumping, and the increased contribution to special education. We pay $14,000 towards health benefit costs for all qualified employees. So there's $14,000 for every teacher. You have to put aside everybody in classified management, all the people that work more than 6 hours a day. And then these are the costs of other benefits, so STIRS we talked about, Medicare. So categorical programs, we have money that comes in for after school, $561,000. We have the lottery, which we talked about. We have mental health funds that come in from the feds, the routine restricted maintenance, and then all these titles, Title 1, 2, 3, and 4, those are all federal money. And then 2A is a local money that is for tobacco avoidance, and then local assistance in preschool, special ed, etc. So where are we spending our money? 44%, almost 45% go to certificate salaries, 24% go to employee benefits. Seven, 10, 11% of our budget. The rest of it all goes. So you will see that in September of how much we actually spend. This is what makes up your fund balance. We have $4,281,000 basically in the savings, plus $13,000 in the revolving cash, and then the 3% is there, and then we have another $5 million in the restricted programs, which is, you can't really call that a fund balance in the fact that it can only be spent on. So like $1 million of that is textbooks. So as soon as we do an adoption of textbooks and we spend money, then that number is going to go down. So multi-year, if you were to look at all the bad news of where we are budget-wise, then we would, in 26, 27, we would really need to make sure the state's in a different place, but also we're going to really have to cap our spending these 2 years to make sure the outliers aren't going to be very difficult for us. We've gone through this before. Those of you that were on the board back in 2006, when the recession hit, it was crazy. So I don't think we're going to get there, but it's still, we'd like to see things improve. Other funds, so this just kind of gives you an idea of how much money's in that fund, what is our expected net change. So for example, this is the $5 million that would be overspent in general. But again, it's budget like cafeteria. We have to budget 100% of it, but we never spend 100%. So it won't be these numbers, but that's what it's in as a budget. The 800 and some odd thousand I told you we spent, which will get reimbursed, is out of this $1.4 million. So that's going to go back in there when we get that check from the fund. So that's it. The end. Sorry about the Zoom. I have no idea how that happened. But I'm happy to answer any questions. None? I don't blame you.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm Jim Buck, and I don't have any complaints about the school or the district, and this goes into funding, but I can't understand how it makes financial sense to have two school districts in such a small town. It seems that with one school district, it would save money, and that money could be used towards the teachers, the classrooms, and the schools. I don't know what I don't know, but just from the outside looking in, it doesn't make sense.
I can answer a little of that for you. The state of California makes it very difficult to combine districts. So when you combine a district, what they make you do is take the best of either district. So let's say we pay more, but the high school district has better medical benefits, then we have to take their better medical benefits and our salaries and then pay everybody within that combined district those new numbers. So really the only place that you'll see, you could potentially see a little bit of a savings is you would have one superintendent instead of two or three if we also combined with Plumas Lake. But when you get more and more students, then that superintendent would end up having an assistant superintendent or two. So you're going to save a little money there, but it's not a lot of that differential. Transportation, you probably won't save much because, the high school has to go to Plumas Lake, also has to go out to Smartsville, and we help them and they help us. So it's not as big of a savings as people want to say, mainly because of the got to take the best of all the districts that combine. The other piece of it is, which is huge for the two districts in Wheatland, that is, well, mainly for our district, is that we have funding that comes from the Air Force Base because none of the houses out there get property tax. And so instead of getting property tax from the state of California, you get money called Impact Aid. The Impact Aid money is based on a percentage of students in your district that are military. Most military have young kids. They don't have kids in high school. And so if we add the high school and Plumas Lake students to the mix, we go from 30% base operated students to 5%, 10%. because you've increased the numbers, but none of them are military connected. So then we have a chance of losing 100% of that money. And that's a big thing when you're not getting the money from the property taxes out there. So those are all reasons that the districts have never combined. They've looked into it a number of times. It's never been a financially worthwhile to do so. And I don't think that would change if somebody did a study now.
From where I understand, the County Office of Education is in the process of doing a study right now.
No, they're not.
The
County Office has no jurisdiction over us or over the high school or over Plumas Lake. Plumas Lake and the high school have discussed the potential of combining because of building a school out at Plumas Lake. But we haven't been approached by the high school other than side conversations when somebody's walking through the grocery store. I don't think you're going to see it happen in the time in which you have your son in school.
Rumor mill, which is Wheatland, has it that, you know, the high school is for it and Wheatland Elementary is against it.
Well, I would be against it. I can only speak for myself. Because the amount of money that the elementary school district would lose, and we wouldn't gain anything from high school, is detrimental to the what education we can give to our students.
And I understand, you know, the past is the past, and there's reasons for doing things. But also in the past, base housing was 1,500 homes, and it's now 500 homes. Mm-hmm. So it's significantly changed the environment.
Sure, but the funding is based on your percentage of kids that are base connected, and they don't all have to live on base.
Understand, but those 1,000 people, those 1,000 homes that aren't there no more, most of those people are not in Wheatland. They're not going to Wheatland. They're in Roseville, they're in Lincoln, they're in Yuba City. And so already there's been a drastic reduction.
Absolutely, but I will tell you that parents that are connected to Beale Air Force Base that live in Lincoln bring their kids here. That's what they do because they want their kids on base with them. They drop them off in the morning, they pick them up in the afternoon, so they bring them here anyways, which they can do because they're military. So we really don't, I mean, we do lose some that may live in Yuba City or Roseville, but not very many.
Okay.
And so you know, the rumor is false because we've never even been talked to by the high school or Plumas Lake in any official way that's what they are considering doing.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
So tomorrow I'm not doing the presentation again. Tomorrow's gonna be a short meeting. Because there's no consent agenda, there'll be four items. Two of them you've heard about tonight. The other two were really quick ones, the Williams Act, which we have no report, but we have to do it and file it. So I would expect tomorrow night's meeting to be 10 to 15 minutes. And I don't see a need for closed session tomorrow night. So, because we're gonna do closed session today. So that is it, and you can move forward, I guess.
If there's no further discussion, I'll adjourn the meeting to closed session.